Are you still are you recording all this shit?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Are you really?
Just in case we can pick anything out of it for the the intro or outro or whatever.
Your mum.
I've outroed all over your mum before.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Don't do that.
Hello! Welcome to the next episode.
I know it's gone quickly, isn't it?
Really quickly, yeah. I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing so far. I'm definitely enjoying drinking.
We always enjoy drinking. I'm Matt.
And I'm Darren. And you are listening to...
Our 80s Adventure.
Woohoo! And what are we talking about this week then, Matt?
We are talking about a fantastic film called Beverly Hills Cop.
Never heard of it. Any good?
Yeah, it's all right. It doesn't hold up well.
No. Well, I guess we'll find out as we go along.
Yeah. What year was it?
84, I think it was released.
Was it really?
Yeah. Back when I was a fresh-faced 10-year-old.
I wasn't born.
Fuck up.
I'll drink to that.
Well, if you're listening out there, and I hope you are, you might want to get yourself a nice little drinky poos and join us as we talk about this great film starring Mr. Eddie Murphy.
I like that. So even last week, the first thing you did was tell people to get booze.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it, isn't it?
So how are you, buddy? You had a good week?
Not too bad. How are you over there?
Yeah, all good. I've really enjoyed watching this film this week. That has been one of the highlights, actually.
You've revisited it.
I did, and I've not watched it in about... I can't remember in the last 20 years watching it.
Really?
I remember loving it when I was growing up, but I can't remember watching it in the last 20 years. And I thought about putting it on the other night, and I thought, oh, but there's so much other stuff I want to watch, but I have to watch it for this week. Oh, so glad I did.
Awesome.
I'm so glad I did, because it was... It's aged so well.
It's a cracker.
Like us.
It's my go-to. Yeah, maybe. It's a cracker. As I say, it's my go-to 80s movie.
I thought there was going to be bits in it that kind of, you kind of go, oh, you know when you see some now, like when you said about you watch Different Strokes and you were like, oh, it's not aged so well. I thought I was going to get the same with Beverly Hills Cop. No, not at all. I can't think. I mean, maybe as we go through it, we'll find something. You know, it hasn't aged well, but I don't think so. I was watching it and I was really looking out. Perfect.
Well, I'm sure we've got plenty of things to say about the film as we go along. There's definite things that we need to talk about. I don't think we need to point out. And so without any further ado, let's do it, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay then. Well, first of all, I guess we should go back to our favourite little feature, which is where Matt has to discuss the synopsis of the film. And for any of you that's too stupid to know what synopsis means, it means the story.
Oh, brilliant. It only took you like a minute and a half to start insulting people.
Oh, come on. That's why they're here. That's
get
why
the fuck
here.
Out of here.
Cannot.
That's going to happen a lot, isn't it?
A lot. Okay, so Matt, are you ready to take it away?
Yeah, so the rules are I get 1 second for every minute of screen time. So in this film comes in at 1 hour 45, so I get 1 minute 45 in order to summarise this film. So Darren, whilst I'm doing this though, so you'll have to have a few drinks while
why
I'm doing this.
Why am I the one that has to drink?
Well, because I'm the one that spent time this afternoon summing this up in less than an hour.
But then the rules then, so if you go over, what do you have to do?
Oh, down the rest of my drink.
Down the rest of your drink.
So I've got 1 minute 45. If I go over that, I will down the rest of my drink. But you've got 1 minute 45 to drink the rest of your drink. How much drink have you got there?
I've got about 3/4 of a pint, so I guess I better top up slightly.
I'll top up as well. That doesn't mean we're getting our tops off.
Hey!
Nobody
wants to see that. Okay, I've now got a pint of WKD. What have you got?
I've got WKD as well. What flavour?
I've got dark fruit tonight.
Ah, nice. I've got the blue one, whatever that is, raspberry.
Blue Wicked.
Blue Wicked.
Okay, well, should we do this?
All right.
Here we go then. Let's have the little jingle.
Axel Foley is a maverick cop, and in the first few scenes he has an undercover operation that goes bad, resulting in an 80s car chase. He gets chewed out by his boss, Inspector Todd, and then he gets back to his apartment to find his friend Mikey. They go to drink and talk about what Mikey's been doing in Beverly Hills with the beautiful Jenny. I'll lose a second on that, I don't care, I have to think about her. Anyway, they go back to Foley's apartment and Axel is knocked out and Mikey is killed. Axel asks to work the case, Todd says no. So, using vacation time, Axel finds himself in Beverly Hills. He goes to see the beautiful Jenny, who lets Axel know that Mikey and her work for Victor Maitland, who Axel then goes to see and is promptly thrown out of the lobby window. He finds himself arrested and he's interviewed by Taggart and Rosewood, who ends up tailing him after he's bailed out. Axel loses them with the banana in a tailpipe trick. and Axel and the beautiful Jenny find dodgy dealings going on at various warehouses. Back at the hotel, Taggart and Rosewood get joined by Axel after his investigation, and he talks him into going to a strip bar where they foil a robbery. The next day, Axel follows Victor to a country club where he causes trouble and gets arrested. And back at the police station, Axel tells them what he knows and they want to help, but the police chief intervenes. Rosewood is ordered to escort Axel out of the city. Of course, Axel talks Rosewood into helping and Jenny comes along for the ride. Axel and Jenny break into the warehouse, get caught. Jenny's taken hostage by Victor. Rosewood saves Axel. They head to Victor's house where they're joined by Taggart and a commando shootout occurs. Of course, it all ends well with the bad guys dead and the cops sticking up for Axel in front of the police chief. Axel is leaving Beverly Hills. And as he's checking out, he's joined by Taggart and Rosewood. He persuades them to go for a drink, with Taggart saying that one drink won't kill them. And Axel says he will take them to the perfect place as the film finishes.
Oh, my God. Do you want to know how long that was?
Go for it.
It was, drum roll,
boom, 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 boom.
1 minute, 36 seconds. You are 9 seconds under.
Hey. Did you finish your drink?
Yeah.
You didn't finish your drink, did you?
No, I didn't. I admit it was too sweet to carry on drinking.
That's all right. It's okay. That's not bad.
I got about halfway through.
Okay, I'll join you. Right. Okay. So, what do you think? Was that a good sum up?
Yeah, that's a great sum up.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop. We'll see you next time. Bye.
So I guess the most obvious place to go first is
Eddie Murphy. You could almost say Eddie Murphy was the king of the '80s, I suppose. Can you, in terms of movies?
Yeah. I've got a question for you.
Oh, okay.
When he's walking down the road in Beverly Hills and he sees those two guys and one's wearing like red leather, yes. One is that a reference to his what, Delirious, or is it a Michael Jackson reference?
Yeah.
Or is it all like a bit of into each other?
Well, I mean, to me, it's how he looks in Delirious.
Right.
Is it Delirious? Yeah, what's the other one? I can't remember. We'll have to have a look at that in a little bit. I'll have to have a look at that. But yeah, it's... Raw is the second one, isn't it? So yeah, he's in red and Delirious, isn't it? So yeah, maybe. Or maybe it is Michael Jackson.
But also, I mean, Beverly Hills, who wears leather? a full leather outfit.
Two white guys trying to be, maybe two black guys. That's just genius.
But also,
If they are trying to be Eddie Murphy,
yeah,
that's very meta.
Yeah.
Which is quite 21st century rather than 1980s.
I mean, there was a lot of that going on, I think. But, I mean, we go on holiday every year to Mallorca, don't we?
We do.
Can you imagine...
I can't believe my wife allows me to go
with
this man.
So, imagine sitting on Palma Nova Beach. Oh, No, hang on. In red leather.
Imagine walking down the strip in Magaluf. You in red leather and me in black leather. Or PVC.
Well, I mean, it's an option.
I can actually imagine being in Magaluf in PVC. That's not an issue.
But, I can't imagine being in that sort of heat. I mean, when we go abroad and I'm in shorts, I'm absolutely baking anyway. I mean, who wears red leather in like, Beverly Hills?
I've never been to Beverly Hills, so maybe if someone wants to sponsor a trip for us, we can find out.
Yes, we will. Imagine that happening.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean, he was just great, wasn't he?
He's fantastic. I mean, he's very funny.
Yeah, that's a given, isn't he? Yeah. He's really funny.
Well, he came up from Saturday Night Live, didn't he? He's one of their alumni.
So. Yeah, Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah, he came from Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, yes, I remember him now.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, one of Saturday Night Live's alumni and just a very, very funny guy.
But that was an 80s thing, wasn't it? Like people like Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, yeah. Bill Murray, I mean, John Candy. Yeah. They all came from there.
John Candy. Take a moment to remember John Candy.
I mean, we don't watch Saturday Night Live here.
No.
So I don't even... Is it still going?
I believe so.
You had the new generation and stuff with, like, Bill Hader and things like that. So, yeah, there were other generations that came on.
I'm going to have to bow to a greater knowledge there because I am definitely...
It's not that much greater. So, let's just have a little quick chat about his characters within his characters then.
Okay.
I forgot. Because this is your go-to 80s film. I forgot... How many little characters he takes on, you know, so if he's delivering flowers, you know, listen, you know, flowers are my life. I've got to make sure these get to him.
Yeah.
There was that. There was the Rolling Stone guy.
Yeah. Which is just, I mean, it's so cringe. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, this is it.
Just brilliant.
I'm here to do an interview with Michael Jackson, but now I'm going to do an interview. Oh, my God. It's
But it is very, very funny.
Yeah.
And I guess it maybe did sort of reflect a lot of the attitudes. Hopefully not so much now, but I guess it still exists in certain places.
Yeah, there was even like a chuckaway line when he was playing the investigator when he was looking around the warehouse. Mm-hmm. And he went, "You let a black man walk in here." Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's the one line that jarred with me a little bit. No. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, okay, that's obviously a sign of the times back then.
Yeah, but also with things like that, it's you never know what was... Just confirm what you say. I mean, his experiences would probably confirm or not that sort of thing happening. But but going back to the actual production of Beverly Hills Cop, you never know what's improvised and what's
well, apparently so scripted. Much was, wasn't it?
So much. Looking into it, yeah. I mean, the three guys together, the three cops together.
Mm. I love them.
It's pretty much all improvised. And that is fantastic.
Yeah. I think my favourite moment, and I just laughed. I absolutely just laughed. And when you're watching a film by yourself, it's rare that you actually just belly laugh.
Yeah.
It was when he went to the country club and he was like, "Look, I've got a message for Victor." And he's like, "Well, look, why don't I pass it?" And he's like, "Well," he starts talking about the clinic and stuff. And I was like, and you could see the guy getting so uncomfortable. I was like, "This is genius."
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you'd get away with doing a character like that now.
Would you not?
What, a real ultra camp?
I don't know. You look at like things like Little Britain. I suppose that's dated now, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's the fact it's a straight guy, not just being a gay character, but being a camp character is something that we just don't see anymore. And probably quite rightly so too.
Yeah.
Unless it's like autobiographical or something like that.
I think what, with, you know, getting really deep on it, I think what Axel Foley does is he looks at any situation and he goes, how can I throw them off their balance?
Yes.
And in a country club in the 80s, being a gay man walking in, asking to speak to someone, going, "I've probably given you a disease."
But again, going back to the other thing as well, a gay black man
in
what was a white club.
Mm.
Maybe not strictly white, you don't really know, because it's not challenged in the film or not touched on in the film. But yeah, maybe that's... Go on, sorry.
No, not at all. I'm just thinking some of the other characters he does. So when he's trying to disarm the guy in the strip
that
bar.
Is one of my favourite scenes.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's great because I don't know what it was. It was the camera angle where Eddie Murphy, his head's just jigging along to the music, right? He's just having a little jig and he's watching it and he's still moving about. He's moving about and he obviously talks to the more sensible cop, which is Taggart. And he's like, you know, he's telling Billy to go and put money in the girl's knickers. And
it's like mum, dad and son.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, well, just on a quick tangent.
Yeah.
I read something about when they were auditioning people for Rosewood and Taggart, they said, look, just treat them like a married couple.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I read this too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was
the red meat. Yeah, yeah. Do we eat a lot of red meat?
those two work so well together.
So then he goes and disarms this guy by just pretending to be drunk. Again, he just looked...
Phil!
Is that what it is? Yeah,
yeah,
Phil.
I love it.
Is that you, Phil?
Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah. And then the scene that follows it where he tells that entire story about super cops.
Super cops. Yeah. But did you read about that as well? I don't know if you saw it. That was, by the looks of it, that scene changed every take. So the Taggart is looking at the floor.
Right.
Because he's basically pissed himself laughing.
Oh, that's nice,
and
isn't it?
Rosewood has got his hand in his pocket, pinching his thigh to try and stop himself. From that, or Judge Reinhold is trying to stop himself laughing.
I mean, that's a name, isn't it, in itself, Judge Reinhold?
Yeah. But what I mean, he was a big film star in his own right.
Vice versa?
Yeah. Well, rip off of Big, but we won't go there. But no, I know, I'm going to hold my hands up. It's a great film as well. I love Vice Versa. Obviously, I love Big more.
Yeah, I mean, as you had a slew of those sort of films at the time, didn't you? You had Vice Versa, Freaky Friday.
I think Freaky Friday was first.
Was it the original?
Yeah, the original, yeah.
And then was it Big?
I believe so, yeah.
Sometimes we use IMDb for stuff, but actually, we don't know everything about films, so we're not going to sit here and pretend we do.
Get things wrong. We're only human. If we do, get over it.
great, second insult. Anyway, so, I mean, this is, we could talk about Eddie Murphy for hours, I should imagine.
Yeah. I think up there, you know, we're going back to one of our other podcasts, one of the biggest stars of the 80s, along with like Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
And other people as well.
Well, yeah, but they didn't ever work together, did they?
if they did nothing, is instantly springing to mind.
No. Anyway, he nailed this one. It was golden.
Absolutely.
It was absolutely golden.
I just cannot believe, though, that originally it was supposed to be Sly Stallone.
I was wondering if you're going to bring that up.
Yeah. I mean, what a different film that would be.
Well, I happen to have got something on this.
Here we go.
You know, so the trivia that came up on my Prime,
yeah.
It wasn't just Stallone.
No, there was someone else as well. Who was the other... this should be a question, really, shouldn't it?
It should be. I thought about making a question.
No, there was someone, I can't remember the name's gone right out of my head. Go on.
Mickey Rourke?
Mickey Rourke, yes. Yeah.
Now, also, there's a whole slew of other names. I've used slew twice tonight. I don't know why.
Nice.
So there's a slew of other names. So what I'd like to do is... slew. I'd like to give you the names and just see what you think about them playing.
There's, I like this.
Go there's on. Only one name on here that I think actually might have done quite a decent job.
Okay.
But... or maybe two. So playing Axel Foley is Jeff Bridges.
No.
James Caan. Billy Crystal. You can
on the fence with that one.
Because he's got comedic chops, isn't it?
Yeah.
Robert De Niro.
No. It would have been a very, very different film. Don't get me wrong, De Niro is one of our greatest actors ever.
Yeah, awesome.
But I actually said that.
When he goes on Meet the Fockers and stuff like that, he has got...
He's very much the straight character, isn't he? Apart from it, towards the end of the film, when he relaxes.
But also in 1984, was it?
Yes. Well, I guess 83 production.
Yeah. He was probably a little bit more serious than he got later on.
It's not long after Taxi Driver, is it? Or Godfather 2.
So, but he only seemed to start doing the comedy roles
later.
Yeah, I don't want to say in his golden years because, you know...
He's still working.
He's still very much working, but I think he just wanted to do something different when he got older, I guess. I don't know. I don't know the man. I mean, yet. Unless, you know, if he wants to call in. So, Harrison Ford.
No.
Richard Gere.
Again, it would have been a different film, but...
Not as good. There's not an actor I've named that I think it could live up to anything that Eddie Murphy did. Mel Gibson. Do you know what...
But then it would have just become, for me, I didn't know that, but instant reaction, we were just like...
Lethal Weapon. But is this pre-Lethal Weapon, isn't it?
Yeah. What's Lethal Weapon? 87? 88?
We should do more research, or not.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know you were going to throw this out.
I just thought it'd be kind of fun, because there's a few more actors in here. I thought, well, okay.
There's more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gregory Hines. I don't know who that is either.
I do recognise the name, though.
Michael Keaton. Now, actually... But again, it would have been a different script, because these are comedy actors.
Yeah, Michael Keaton. Yeah. Beetlejuice is... I can't wait till we get around to doing that one.
And Batman.
Not really a comedy character.
No, but he brings a lot of, character.
I guess, in terms of not so much prattling around, but the comedy side, Beetlejuice is...
Can't wait to read you some of the rest of these names.
Go on.
So there's Nick Nolte.
No.
Al Pacino.
Okay.
Richard Pryor.
Well, that's an obvious comparison, really, I guess.
Yeah.
I think, isn't it Raw where he starts off with a little reconstruction?
He says, I learned all my comedy from listening to Richard Pryor. And he said, talk about what you know, and he talked about pooing and Dennis Quaid. Apparently these are just people that were considered. I'll run through them now. Kurt Russell.
The Lord Kurt Russell.
The Lord Kurt Russell.
I love Kurt Russell.
Schwarzenegger.
No.
Travolta. And here's the one that I think would be good.
Yeah.
Robin Williams. But do you know what I mean? I think he would have done something very fun with it.
Yeah.
Again, a different film.
Yeah, a different film. But he was such a great actor. So yeah, he could have definitely done something with it.
Yeah. And Bruce Willis. No. Well,
I just can't see it really with anyone apart from Eddie Murphy.
No. He was, just phenomenal. Phenomenal. Is that a good place to take a break for a drink? What do you think?
Should we have a little drink and a pee?
A little drink break? Because then I think we can go on to talk about the supporting characters and stuff like that. And then, we got our quiz.
Nice.
But
okay.
I think we needed to dedicate a long time to talking about Eddie Murphy playing this character, because he was just perfect, wasn't he?
I think that is a good place to take a little break.
You're right, Darren.
No, it's his underpants. They only cost a quid, but I think I got 50 pence worth stuck up my arse. Oh, if only there was somewhere I knew to buy some decent ones.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that because this week we are sponsored by onlymenswear.com.
Huh?
Yeah, have you heard of them?
No, tell me more.
If you use the code 80s, 80S,
mm-hmm.
then you will receive 5% off your order.
No way. Awesome, yeah, dude.
Absolutely. So nice. What are you waiting for, Darren?
Okay, I'm going to go there right now.
Where are you going to go?
Onlymenswear.com.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Like he wears pants.
And we're back again. Hello.
That was almost a slight harmony on there.
Yeah, nice, nice.
How's your drink?
Well, I've topped up now. I've gone on to the vodka. Yourself?
Vodka too. What are you having, vodka?
I'm having vodka and cola.
Vodka and cola. I'm having vodka and Tesco tonic. So that's...
Okay, well, I'm having Smirnoff and Coke. please sponsor us.
So we were talking about the characters, weren't we?
Yeah, we were.
Good characters, some really good supporting characters. But before we get into those, I just want to...
Yep.
There's a couple of cameos, isn't there? Really? Well, not cameos as such. There's a couple of characters I noticed, which was the guy, the waiter that delivers the stuff to the car. Have you ever seen him before?
Possibly. You're going to tell me I have it.
You definitely have, but it's something I would notice more than you would notice.
Yeah.
He was Freddy in Karate Kid. So okay. The guy that takes him to the beach.
Yeah.
So he's done well.
Well, what year was Karate Kid?
80. Oh, I should know this. I love this film. I think it's... Is it the same? I think it's 84, isn't it?
Was it? I don't know. You're a massive fan of
Karate Kid. I am, but 84, 86. Hang on. Oh, that's one I'm going to have to Google.
Okay,
I feel quite ashamed as a Karate Kid fan.
Well, you should.
It's been a washout. No,
that's
but, yeah,
so, up.
Freddy, but also the guy selling the bananas.
Yes.
Marlon Wayans. That was his first film, apparently.
Bollocks. That's one of my questions fucked for later.
Yes. I love it when I uncover one of your questions for later.
But again, a camp character. I don't know much about Marlon Wayans. I've seen him in other films and he's not camp, so I don't know if he's a camp guy in real life. But again, let's come back down that would you act that camp now in a film?
What he did do with the character, though, was create a memorable character that's quotable.
Absolutely.
You know, go and take those bananas. And you're like, that's what you remember, is take the bananas.
Yeah.
But
and it's the little look he gives as he hands the bananas over as well. It's
yeah.
in the UK, in light entertainment, going back to the 80s and 70s and things like that, we had big camp characters like...
Yeah.
Oh, God, his name just gone straight out.
John
of my
Inman?
Head. Yeah, John Inman. And shut that. Larry Grayson.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very much in that sort of vein. As un-PC as it is, it's still very funny. And, like you say, a very memorable cameo.
I wonder how much of that was the director or how much was Marlon Wayans. Because actually, it's written. It's probably like, no, you have to take the whole thing. Well, then you want some bananas. Here, take some bananas. That's his lines.
Yeah.
But you remember him.
Exactly.
I mean, he's in a very colourful costume as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's like wearing like this black number with like maybe yellow on it and things. It looks quite flamboyant in the lobby of a hotel. Now, speaking of flamboyance and making lines,
I wonder where we're going with this.
Making lines memorable.
Yeah,
clearly one of the best things about this film.
The most memorable. If it's the guy we're thinking of, if it's the guy you're talking about, and I'm thinking of,
yep,
it's one of the most memorable characters in the film.
Well, let's say his name on three then. One, two, three. Serge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Funny guy.
Oh, he's, I mean, so what's it, Bronson Pinchot, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so. I think it's how you pronounce it.
Okay.
He is just brilliant.
Yeah.
He is just so watch. I mean, he has, again, he's someone that has about, I don't know, 10 lines.
Yeah,
the most. 10 lines. And he's just like, and me and you for years when we've been out having a couple of beers, you know, someone says, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, that's it. It's just instantly quotable. I suppose that's the thing about this one. There's a lot of quotes.
Yes, but also it's just very, very funny. And I mean, I don't know how true things are that you read on the internet. Sometimes everyone knows that
things
can be made up. But by all accounts, Eddie Murphy was not overly keen on the way he almost upstaged
him. Oh, he did.
In the scenes.
He did upstage him, 100%.
Yeah, and I can see why if you... I don't want to use the word precious, but as a lead, maybe he would react in a less than keen not OTT, but big cameo like that, that might pull focus from what he's trying to do.
Maybe, yeah.
But the fact is, it's so bloody
there's no choice but to pull focus, though. But I think it's one of those characters that is so, again, larger than life,
yeah.
That and the way you can see Eddie Murphy looking at him, it kind of I think he respects what he's done with
of
that.
Of course,
he absolutely.
You can't not enjoy
Sierra's
performance. It's so bloody
little
funny.
Little espresso.
No, don't be stupid.
Yeah,
great.
And even when the other characters are talking, you just look at him a little bit because what's Serge going to do? So they bring him back, don't they, for 2 and 3?
They do. Yeah, but going back to the first film, the two guys in the gallery mm-hmm. were written as two distinct characters.
Mm.
But apparently, when the director saw what Pinchot was doing,
yeah,
pretty much wrote the other guy out of the scene and just came in,
gave him all his lines and stuff.
Well, I don't know about gave him his lines, but pretty much just changed him. So he came in with his shirt open, and that was it. As the other actor,
oh my goodness,
how pissed off would you be?
You'd be pissed off, but I think part of me would be like, all right, fair play. You out acted me, if you like.
Yeah, but. We're actors, we know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be fair play, but like, you know what this guy did? He came in with his shirt open, took all my lines. Yeah, he's just great. I think, from what I remember, now I can't be clear on this because I haven't watched number one in years, 2 and 3. I think his character gets a little bit crazy in maybe 2 or 3. Doesn't he become like a gun dealer or something?
Does he?
So I think there's like some weapons show. Maybe it sounds like number 3 because number 3 is not as good.
It's not great.
But I think he's a weapons dealer, and I think they just wanted to shoehorn him in there.
God. I really don't remember. I think 3 is the one I've seen maybe once, twice at the most.
I think it's one of those things, isn't it, where you get a bit of magic and then they've milked it a little bit.
Yeah.
So they had a great bit of magic with this first film, and yeah, he just made me laugh so much.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It was just so funny.
Just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And what a performance.
Yeah. We could talk about Serge like for the rest of the night, but should we look at some of the others?
Absolutely, yeah.
Jenny. Mm. Yeah, beautiful Jenny.
Yeah.
She stopped acting about 20 years ago, I read.
Did she really?
Mm.
Did they say why?
I don't know if she got sick of the life, but she did this and she did something else. What is she like? I mean, there was obviously she'd been acting for a long time. Yeah, it was. She did something else big. Oh, it was Officer and a Gentleman.
Well, that was before this, though, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those films that are not really my cup of tea, so I haven't bothered to watch for years.
I like to do this thing where if I'm watching an 80s film, I like to, if they're not in our consciousness now,
yeah.
I like to see what they look like from back then. It still looks great.
With your 20/20 eyes.
With my 20/20 eyes. So yeah, she still looks phenomenal, but she had that, as we talked about before, beautiful 80s hair, the shoulder pads. But she was a good foil for Axel as well.
Yes.
She didn't take any crap off him. And
I mean, she's not a weak female character.
No, she's not.
Nice. She's ballsy. She wants to be there as well.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we have to touch on it, I suppose. There aren't that many female characters in this film.
No.
I guess that's a reflection of the time, but it would be
A bit of a sausage fest, isn't it?
Yes. And it would be wrong not to mention that. I don't want to get bogged down in that sort of thing. But I guess, just being honest, that's the way it is in this film, unfortunately. Luckily, things have changed very much now.
And
I'm sure we say this every week.
No, exactly. Probably will. But
particularly for this film, I think there's maybe 3 or 4 female characters, and one of those is a stripper. So
Who, a bit of trivia on that. So she was an actual stripper. Yeah.
And suggested the song.
Suggested the song. Is that one of your questions?
Which song did she suggest?
Nasty Something?
Nasty Girl.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay.
Which is a great song.
It's a very good song. That strip bar scene is great. But no, Jenny, she was great. And I don't think she cropped up in any after that, did she?
No, I don't think so.
There was a tendency back in the 80s, wasn't it? If there was a sequel, they'd dump she wasn't even a love interest, actually, which is great, but they'd sort of tend to dump the female lead for somebody new in the second one, like Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought she was very believable and a good sort of friend to Axel. And
And like I say, ballsy and not afraid to get stuck in.
I'm holding off on my two favourites, right, which are, you know...
How can Serge not be one of your favourites?
Well, no, but it's in... It wouldn't be as great without Rosewood and Taggart, but I think let's come back to those.
Okay.
So you got the great actor, Stephen Berkoff.
The legend, Sir Lord Stephen Berkoff.
It's weird. I had a funny little thought when I was watching this, right? So you got Stephen Burkhoff, who has studied in drama schools, playing a, not kind of a caricature baddie, but a baddie in a an American action film in the
80s. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you've got
a part. The fact it's a British actor who's playing, as far as I can tell, an American baddie. An American who's a baddie.
Oh, you see, we're going to disagree on that.
You don't think he's an American
character? No, I think he's English. Because part of me for a second thought he was German, like the Hans Gruber thing. But no, his accent sounds very British.
Oh, to me, it sounds like a British guy trying to put on an American accent.
Oh, I hope not, because surely he's better than that.
Well, I don't know. I've not seen the character breakdown, but I always just took him to be American.
Oh, well, listen, let us know your thoughts on that. Yeah. So if you do want to let us know your thoughts...
Of course, we've not mentioned it yet.
No, we haven't yet. No,
well, you should know it by now already, to be fair. If you've
listened to the last episode. But yeah, all you need to do is email podcast@80sadventure.com and let us know your thoughts. Was he American? Was he British? I've always thought he was British. He's good. But I don't think he's given a great deal to work with, but I think a lot of British baddies in 80s films weren't given that. I mean, Hans Gruber was so amazing in Die Hard. Yeah.
But I disagree slightly. I think he's phenomenal, and I think what he does get...
But what I'm saying, what he's given, do you know what I mean? It becomes very much... There's a few scenes...
But at the end of the day, it's the Eddie Murphy show, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on from Burkhoff then, playing Victor. I mean, yeah, you do have the other dudes who played the guy that assassinated Mickey. He's still huge. He's still a big actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think we should maybe...
But no, I can't gloss over him because I think he's great. He has that sort of... Because he doesn't look like a baddie. He doesn't look like your typical henchman. He's quite short. He's quite wiry. But he's got that face. You just know he's...
He's still
dangerous.
Got that face, though.
Well, I hope so.
No, I mean, I know,
Hollywood, 30 years later, that's quite an achievement.
No, he's... have you ever watched Breaking Bad?
No.
No, he's in that and he's... He's great. He's still just as scary.
Yeah.
He's still playing...
There's something about
He's still playing
look.
A henchman, though.
But like I say, he doesn't look like a typical henchman, does he? He's not 7 foot bloody tall. He's not built like a brick shithouse.
It's that look that he gives you, isn't it? It's like, I don't care if you live or die. I'm going to do my job.
I'm going to do my job, cuz.
Yes. And the way he just puts two bullets into Mickey.
Yeah.
Mickey Mikey. Yeah, he's a great actor. Mm. And I like the fact they're always hanging out together.
Yeah,
at the country club.
Well, that was going to be one of the other things that I brought up for me. Right, there's definite undertones, and I may just look at it wrong. There's definitely a homosexual undertone to two pairs of the characters. I don't know if anyone else has picked up on that.
What are you saying with those two?
I don't know if it's Burkhoff's. Again, it's not a camp performance, but I'm not sure if there's anything. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Well, that's why I thought he was more European than American, because he seems that very much European.
He's quite fey rather than camp, but obviously they're both dangerous men. But also, Michael Tandino.
Yeah.
And Axel Foley. For me, there's a little bit of...
I got more of a brother thing.
There's a bit when he's got his hand on his shoulder when they're out shooting pool. And it's almost like... It's that... What's the film with Keanu Reeves?
Point Break?
Point Break.
Yeah.
Again, there's like a homosexual undertone to that as well.
For me, Mikey, Axel and Jenny, I can see them all growing up.
And exactly.
And
secondary school.
Being the closest of friends. And I don't think any of them had a sexual chemistry in my head.
Right.
That's why if this was another film, you'd probably have Eddie Murphy and her pairing off at the end or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they were just mates.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the closest we got was him saying, "You filled out?" And she went, "Yes, I filled out." And she just knew. And it was that kind of... And you got a bit of peach fuzz. You got a bit of peach fuzz. Yeah. Yeah, I liked the relationship they all had.
Maybe it's just me reading too much into it, but I thought there was like a little... homosexual undertone to their relationship, and maybe even more of an undertone between Maitland and his henchmen.
I mean, I didn't get that, but then you didn't get that he was English, so that's fine. All right, let's go to the second leads of the film, I suppose.
Yeah.
Taggart and Rosewood.
Oh, the great Taggart and Rosewood. Or Rosemont.
Now, growing up in England... When I first watched this, I don't know if I'm making this up in my head now.
Right.
When I heard Taggart, I thought, that doesn't look like Taggart.
But that was some way after the film, though, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't know, you see. It all blends into one.
Well, for anyone that doesn't know Taggart, It's a Scottish detective series.
Yes.
Yeah.
Taggart and Rosewood. So, I mean, we touched on it briefly earlier, but their relationship is just, the way they've played it is golden.
Absolutely perfect.
It's great. That, as we said about the whole eating beef stuff, and it's just the way he tells off, it tells off Billy all the time.
All the time. But like I say, it's the three of them together, it's like a little family.
Mm.
And now we touch on the improvisation stuff at the audition stage, pretend you're a married couple.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what they're like. And I guess, you know, I've never been in the police force or anything like that, but I guess if you work
there's
with a partner
time.
All the time, I think that shit might sell. But I guess if you work that closely with someone all the time,
yeah,
then you do have that sort of relationship. You know, I've just been watching you. You're eating a burger again today, are you? Or
yeah.
Having another coffee. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you want to. But it comes from a place of caring because you could see he clearly cares about his older partner. And he's like, dude, I want you to be around.
Yeah.
But the way I wrote down a little note as I was watching it saying, Billy is such a lovely character.
He is, isn't he?
He's your fresh-faced guy, and you think he wouldn't harm anyone. And you know when he shot that guy, he's going to go home that night, he's going to cry about it, he's really upset.
I always took it that was probably the first person he's ever shot.
Maybe, yeah. But, I mean, not to spoil number two, because I can't remember it as much as I remember number one, doesn't he go all like Tackleberry in number two?
I honestly can't remember.
No, I can't remember.
Well, as I said before, one's my go-to film. Two and three.
We should do two soon. I mean, not too soon after this one, but we'll find the right time. We'll do number
two.
Well,
what do you think, listeners? Should we do Beverly Hills Cop 2 at some point?
Yeah, let us know. On what's
a little
the address?
Bit trivia for you.
Yeah.
Go on,
what's the address? What's the address?
Oh, God, this is a challenge, isn't it? It's 80sadventure.com.
Yeah, podcast at 80s Adventures. What are we doing right now? We're doing a podcast.
Yeah. Okay. We've only been doing this for 2 years.
Or 2 weeks, yeah. All right, yeah, sorry, what's the trivia?
Oh, yeah, a little bit of trivia. It's a complete curveball.
Curveball.
In the UK in the early noughties, we had, actually, maybe it was the late 90s. But anyway, we have a British comedian called Peter Kay.
Mm.
And he did a comedy series set in
Beverly Hills. No. That would be great, wouldn't it?
In a social club in the UK. Used to have lots and lots of social clubs where maybe working men's clubs is a more of a accurate description for America. I don't know what sort of thing it would be around the globe, but basically just like clubs. On estates and things where families would go to...
Essentially a bar, kids. Isn't it? That you'd have membership.
But you play bingo, and you have acts on. You take the whole family at Christmas. They'd be very much like maybe a meat raffle every week and Santa Claus. But it was that sort of...
This is a tangent, isn't it?
Very working class thing. But anyway, Peter Kay played the owner of the Phoenix Club.
Mm.
Where Phoenix Nights.
So I've never watched this.
You should watch it. It's genius. And at one point, he falls in love with a woman called Beverly.
Oh, right, and, okay.
It turns out, the whole episode, they fall in love together. And it turns out she's actually there, because he's in a wheelchair. He's been in an accident in his club, so he's in a wheelchair. And it turns out she's actually there from the social to investigate if he's actually disabled. And she gives him a present throughout the episode. And then at the end of the episode, when he finds out, when she confesses she's actually investigating, or was investigating him originally, you see him then send back the present that she gave him, and her full name is Beverly Hills Cop 2.
No.
Her surname is Hills Cop 2.
That's great.
That's brilliant.
That's a lot of fun.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, well. Listen, I tell you what, I think we've explored a lot of the secondary characters. Why don't we take another drink break?
Another drink break and another pee break.
Another drink break, another drink break. And then we'll come back and we'll do a little sum up. We'll finish off with our quiz.
Yeah.
And tease you about what's coming next week.
Ooh.
And
we're back! Hello again! I hope you've recharged your glasses. We've recharged ours.
And emptied them and then recharged again.
Yes. So recycled what we took in before.
So last time we talked about the characters. Now, I guess now we need to move into the music.
Oh, that's all I can say, really. What a score!
Right, that's the music done. Yep. So then after that, all right, let's look into that. I mean, Harold Faltermeyer, isn't it?
Harold Faltermeyer. Yeah.
What else? Did he do Top Gun?
He most certainly did do Top Gun.
See, that I mean, I'm not taking away from Beverly Hills Cop, but that whole the Top Gun anthem.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, that's for another podcast, though. Isn't it?
It is for another
podcast. And I'm sure at some point we will do Top Gun.
I think we should probably do Top Gun around about the same time that Top Gun 2 comes out.
When it eventually comes out, yeah.
Yes, when it eventually comes out. Yeah.
Fingers crossed it's sooner rather than later.
But okay, so we got the do 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 do. Don't think about Crazy Frog.
No, I was just going to say, it's ruined for me. It's been ruined.
The whole like
ding ding.
Oh, yeah, that's silly.
Yeah. It's a travesty.
I mean, yes, it got some younger people to listen to it, but yeah, it didn't need that. It didn't need that. But okay, so Glenn Frey, The Heat Is On.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Or Fry, as I think most people call it. But
is it?
I think so, yeah.
Isn't it? It's not spelled Frey.
It is, yeah. But I think it's Fry.
Oh, wow.
And do you know where he was originally, what band he was in?
Nope.
Yeah, he's Glenn Frey from the Eagles.
No.
Yeah, Hotel California and all
Get
that.
The fuck out of here.
I cannot. Seriously.
See, I just read it as Frey.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're terrible when people spell stuff wrong. So I mean, are you going to tell Glenn Frey that he's got he's just chippy?
Well, yeah, no, I'll go and have a word with Glenn Frey and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yeah. No, I mean, it does start the film off well, and I know you wanted to quickly nip back and talk about
an opening. I mean, this whole film seems to be it seems to have something about just destroying cars.
Yeah, and I noticed that the police cars in Detroit were so different to the police cars in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the police cars in Beverly Hills, they're just the nicest, cleanest, tiniest police
they
car
are.
Axel Foley's ever been in.
Which is great, but the ones in Detroit seem like they were from the 50s or something, because they had like these giant sirens on top or whatever, and it just looked. It was like, ooh,
but that whole opening sequence, you know, with the I mean, the cigarette dealing it's so funny.
Yep.
It's Axel playing another character. And we've talked about this before. We didn't touch it in the podcast, which I wanted
didn't
to.
Touch but, him.
We didn't touch on it in the podcast. We didn't touch on it in the podcast earlier, but we've talked about it before. It's him playing another character, but also...
But he doesn't just go along with it, though. He doesn't go, oh, yeah, you're short, just give me the money to try and get them. He's like, no, give me my money.
Yeah, and that's the thing we didn't touch on earlier in the podcast, is the fact that he is a loose cannon.
Mm.
But because he's from the streets, Detroit at that time, I think Detroit still is if I'm wrong, I apologize for offending anyone, but I think Detroit is still one of the poorest cities in the United States.
Is it really?
In the 50s and 60s, and they had the automotive trade. They built cars and things. Mm. And then as the years went on, they lost out on all that industry, which is why the area was so poor.
Oh, okay.
That whole opening sequence of kids on the street and things and is great, but I think it's because it's real. It still has a little bit of a bite to it.
When I think of Detroit, and again, like Darren, I apologize if I'm offending anyone. I'm from a small city in Britain, and you heard so many stories about Detroit in the 80s, 90s, etc., and it was just scary. So I had a relative that lived in Detroit, and he used to send me stuff from like Detroit Pistons. So I had like Detroit Pistons shorts and all that sort of paraphernalia, but also they were living down the road, and this is actually too serious. It really is.
But
we're not used to gunfights, are we? That's
no,
the thing.
No, I mean, that's a whole other conversation another thing.
But I'd love to skip back a little bit, actually.
But going back to all that, the Detroit that you see at the opening sequence. The automotive industry was pretty much on its ass, but music came out of that, the bad times and things. Detroit was the home of Motown.
Yes, it was. Well, Detroit City,
Which is great.
There's a club where we live called Detroit City.
Oh, my God. Now we're going back.
Yeah.
Back to the 90s.
Back to the 90s.
It's a bit of a
Detroit
decade
City.
decade breach, but would you want to tell the story?
What, of going to Detroit City and listening to Motown and drinking lots of booze? Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of stuff went on, but...
Back in the 90s, Matt and I would go out on a Saturday night. As I'm sure we've said before, we live in Plymouth in the UK, which is down in the south.
We never actually said where we live. We kept it anonymous, but well done.
Well, we did say... I'm joking. But anyway, on a night out, on a Saturday night out, we'd go to Detroit City, which was a tiny, tiny little club on basically... Plymouth Strip, a place called Union Street, which was quite famous for nightclubs and things.
Yeah.
And we'd go to Detroit City and we'd get drunk. Obviously, that's what we do most of the time.
We didn't podcast though, did we?
We didn't. Well, I think if anyone said podcast at the time, or even internet at the time,
yeah,
we'd have gone, what the hell are you talking about? I don't know where the frig we were going with that story. But
I read something, though, just quickly nipping back to the film, which is why you're here. apparently Martin Brest, mm-hmm. who, director, yeah. and him and the crew were going through Detroit, and they were escorted by police.
Right.
Until they got to the really rough areas.
Oh, really?
And they went, nah, we're off. Oh. And they carried on by themselves.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's
and the police actually left them to it?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they escorted them for a bit. I mean, maybe I'm just reading it wrong on IMDb or something.
Maybe it's true, maybe it's a lie.
Yeah.
If it's a lie, then absolutely.
All of
apologies.
This is supposition a lot, really, isn't it,
exactly.
when it comes to...
You can't
to
rely... I mean, for the podcast, we are relying on things on the internet. If you're from Detroit, or even if you're in the film, give us a shout,
I'd say I had a close relative, lived in Detroit for years, yeah. and, you know, loved living in Detroit, and then moved to Vegas. So,
I think my whole point was when you see the opening of the film with the whether it's true or not, whether it's a general thing in Detroit, when you see the deprivation and the very working classness
yep.
of what you see, and then when you go to Beverly Hills, where it's all very
the contrast.
The contrast yeah. is phenomenal, and when he says, you know, when he first arrives and gets to the hotel and says, is this place expensive? And the bellboy says,
not for Beverly Hills.
Yeah. It's it's quite a damning indictment, I suppose, if you look at it that way.
I mean, I don't know what $235 a night or something like that would
come equate out, to like, now.
Yeah, probably $1,000.
Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
If you think about the 80s, now about $1,000.
And that's not expensive for Beverly Hills. Jeez.
But my point, I know we're meant to be talking about the music, was you wouldn't see a film like that now where there's a big chase sequence without there being a lot of CGI.
Exactly.
And that is something that was awesome about that. It was all practical.
And it's such a great opening.
Oh,
it
sets you up, doesn't it?
It's brilliant. It's that whole 80s excess thing.
Yep.
We're going to just destroy everything. That we're going to drive through this car and that car and that car and that truck.
But Darren, here's the thing. They always used to... There was something about the 80s where police cars, they didn't stop. They used to just crash into each other. And it happened at the end of this film
at
as well.
At the end of the film as
when
well.
When they're all going into the driveway and going... Ching, 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 and they're just like hitting each other.
You were lying your ass off.
Well, should we leave the music?
Yeah, well... I think everyone knows the score is great. Axel F is a great tune, but also on the flip side, that was released as a single, obviously. And on the flip side was the bit where he's like going through the when he first goes into the warehouse,
right?
That really
that resonated with me when you did that, Ben Daz. You did it so well, it might even infringe copyright.
Hope so. Thanks, mate. Whatever. It's this mic over here. You can't hear it properly.
Oh, right. Okay. That's exactly what it is.
But that sort of creeping undertone. That's the one. Yeah.
See, when I did it, it sounded good. When you did it, it's terrible. You wouldn't believe he's a singer, would you?
Oh, rude.
So,
Orcs.
Should we go to pub quiz?
You want to do a pub quiz now?
Oh, I think
shall we?
Yeah, it's about time for a pub quiz.
Okay, then. Let's have a bit of pub quiz. Eyes down for a full house.
Right
then. So, pub quiz. Who's going first this week?
Right, well, here are the rules. So we get three questions each.
You're so conventional, recapping on the rules.
Hey, I just want to recap the rules. So,
okay.
Three questions each, and if I get the question right... Then Darren has to drink.
Well, if it's my question.
If it's your question. If it's my question and Darren gets it right, I have to drink. And vice versa. You'll get it as we go along. Would you like to go first?
Okay, I'll go first. I have to be honest, and I think I touched on this earlier. My first question was going to be about a certain waiter
in the hotel.
Oh, no.
Waiter? Would you call him a waiter?
The
guy behind the salad.
Fruit, so the Marlon Wayans.
Yeah.
The Marlon Wayans, by the way.
It's Damon.
It's Marlon.
Damon.
Damon.
Drink, motherfucker. Yeah, but didn't even ask the question. You got his name wrong.
I like the Wayans brothers and stuff.
Well, maybe I should have just kept that question.
Go on then. Who plays?
Yeah. Okay then. So question one. Chief Hubbard, when he first turns up in the police station in Beverly Hills, he's got something in his hand. It's actually a bunch of papers, but do you know what those papers are?
No. I'll hazard a guess. Is it a damage report?
No.
All right, okay, then I'll drink.
Believe it or not, it's the script.
No.
He's got his script in his hand.
And they just played it off as if it was like...
Yeah.
A damage report.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about a damage report.
Well, no, I think it might be a damage report, so therefore you have
what
to...
What are you basing it on?
Well, just supposition.
Okay.
All right. So my question one for you, Darren.
Yeah, okay.
So the lorry at the beginning.
Yeah.
Can you name one of the brands of cigarettes, please?
Pall Mall.
Sorry, could you name two of the brands of cigarettes?
Lucky Strike and Pall Mall.
Oh, yeah, you got them both right. Fine. Okay, I'll drink.
Oh, did I get that right? That's good. Okay. Are you ready for question two?
I am ready for question two.
Okay. When Axel turns up at the Harrow Club and talks to the maitre d', what does he say he has?
You're an absolute bastard. You're an absolute bastard.
Why?
Because he says something like, I've got Hermes 14 or something. He lists this imaginary disease, which I thought that I was watching. I was like, he's just listed something that really doesn't exist. So you're an absolute idiot.
What? You watch the film.
All right. Okay. I'll drink.
So do you know what the answer is?
No, I don't. What's the answer?
Herpes simplex 10.
Oh, there we go. So that, who the fuck is going to get that?
Who the fuck?
Funny you should say that. So my question number two.
Okay.
So when he turns
up... Did you drink then, by the way?
I did drink, yes. Okay. So when he turns up at the club and he speaks to the maitre d', what's the maitre d's niece called in real life?
What?
No, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you because you gave me an impossibly hard question. So I thought, well, let's give him one back.
What's
no. So, all right, my serious number two. My serious number two.
we've all had those.
Question number two is, what is Taggart's first name?
Ooh.
And it's not Sirius Happy D. Just giving you a hint.
John.
Fuck you.
What?
That's the answer, yes.
I told you it's my go-to 80s film.
Yeah, but they never mention it.
I just looked at my answers.
Yeah, you hacked my computer. All right, okay, go on then.
Anyway, okay. As always, my third question is going to be complete the quote.
Oh, is it? Is it? You're always going to do that, yeah?
Yeah, I think
Get the fuck out of here.
I cannot. Seriously. Okay. I think you'll probably be all right with this one.
Okay.
This comes just after Axel has been ejected from Maitland's building. What's the fucking charge for getting pushed out of a moving car, huh?
Jaywalking.
Yay! Okay, so I have to drink.
So I had two alternatives for question three. I think you'll get this.
Well, I don't know.
But if you do get this, I'd like you to do it in his voice.
Was this a quote?
Well, no, it's not a quote, but tell me what does Serge add to his espressos?
Is it a little lemon twist?
Yes, there's a twist of lemon. You know, it's nice.
No, don't be stupid.
Get the fuck out of here.
I cannot, seriously.
So those are our three questions, so I'll drink. Hey. So I blatantly lost this week.
I can't believe, like, you know, we've done a few of these now, and I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Because you are the film buff.
Yeah, this is to be fair, this is a film that you know really well. Next week...
next time. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
I cannot. So there we go. That was our question round. So I suppose it just brings us to...
How we feel about the film.
All right.
Well, I mean, guess it's Last Orders at the Bar. Is that what we call it?
Here we go. Last Orders at
the Bar. Last Orders at the Bar, please. Last Orders at the Bar.
I... I went into this, if I'm very honest, kind of going, yeah, it'll be okay. It'd be nice to watch it again. I'm not sure I'm going to like it as much as I did.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, loved it.
Good.
Loved it more than I thought I was going to. If I had to pre-rate it, I would probably give it about a 7 out of 10.
Do you know what? I'm so happy to hear that. Because, as I say, this is my go-to 80s film. God knows how many times I've watched it.
But that was the pre-rate.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, okay. Sorry, I jumped in too early. Go on.
Yeah, well, that was the pre-rate. I mean, maybe it's the booze. Maybe it is. But honestly, I'd push it up to a 9 for me now.
Really?
Yeah, because it's aged really well. Some 80s films, you look back and you feel a bit uncomfortable at some of the humour. I don't get that with this. I really enjoyed it.
There are definite moments that wouldn't happen now.
No, of course.
But I agree.
And also, it's very rare that a film can make you laugh out loud when you're sat by yourself.
If you don't mind me saying this,
yeah,
I'm going to tell people about a certain event that we had probably 8 years ago.
Right.
And which sort of has become like our benchmark.
Mm.
About 8 years ago in the summer, we went to a holiday resort in Spain, a few of us. And we had a night on the booze in our villa, in the pool.
In the pool.
And we discussed what constitutes a 10-star film.
Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
And I think at the time, when we came back, did we only come up with one?
No, I think we had a few, but we never discussed this.
I don't
think
we discussed this.
No, we didn't.
There's a friend of ours who I'm sure will make an appearance at some point.
I'm sure he will.
So there were three of us discussing it. But like you say, I don't think we discussed this movie.
No, I don't think we did.
Would this constitute a 10-star film? And the prerequisite for it has to be anything at all that you look at, whether effects or sound or just plot line, anything that could drag you out of the film or just detract from the film or just not work quite right, would lose a star.
Yeah.
Is there anything in this film that would do that?
I don't know.
Effects-wise, not relevant.
It's not an issue. Not relevant. An issue at all.
I can't think of anything story-wise, because not necessarily plotting, but editing-wise, it runs from beginning to end perfectly. Humor-wise,
it's tight as well. It's an hour 45.
Yep,
so
it's very tight. It's great to watch.
Point.
What you said. Is there anything there that would lose a star?
I'd have to say no. Maybe it's nostalgia, but actually nostalgia plays a part. But I watched this and I loved it. I loved watching this film. And it was a nice surprise because there was other stuff, you know, on Netflix, whatever else I wanted to watch. And I was like, no, I'm gonna watch this. And I walked away at the end. I was like, well, I didn't walk away. I was sitting down. But really enjoyed the film. Like more than I thought I was going to. And I was preaching to some other friends today on the phone. I was like, it's such a good film. You have to watch it again. And, you know, thinking it's, 36 years ago?
Yeah.
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 So for me, I'm going to give it a solid 9.
A solid 9. For me, I have to give it a 10.
That's good.
I love this film. For me, I don't think there's anything wrong with this film at all.
There's not. Easy for you to say.
In terms of the film itself, forget maybe 20/20 eyes.
Yeah, some of the other.
But as a film of its time, I think, for me, this film is a perfect 80s film.
Well, on that note, Darren, I think we've had a really nice... And not necessarily perfect, but a really nice chat about this film.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And if any of you out there want to get in touch, please do give us your opinions.
Yeah.
We'd love to read them out. Darren, please
tell me what the email address is, please.
I see you do this every
time.
Yeah,
I know, because you won't remember it.
No, it's just get in touch.
So we're looking at podcast@80sadventure.com.
That's exactly what you said. Podcast@80s.com.
So what we'd like to do is give you a little teaser for next week's show.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to give you the tagline. We're not going to tell you what it is.
See if you can work it out. Email in.
If
you get it right, we'll try and give you a mention at some point in a future show.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. So we are looking at next week. The tagline for our film is...
Yeah, go on. Because I don't know this yet, are you?
Well, shall I do it in like a... I don't know, like a...
You want to do it in a styly?
Maybe like, you know, when you get the trailer guy.
Ah, okay. Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
Just because Jonathan Switcher has fallen in love with a piece of wood, it doesn't make him a dummy.
What the fuck was that?
Well, that was me doing it in a style.
That was... Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So that's the tagline for next week's film, which is just because...
Is it Chucky?
No, and also do yourself a favour.
Is it Pinocchio?
You'll find out, but just don't Google it.
Piece of wood.
Just because Jonathan
Switch... Is it Dirk Diggler?
Huh? Just because Jonathan Switch has fallen in love with a piece of wood doesn't make him a dummy. So that's next week's film. If you figure out what that is, please give us an email at podcast@acesadventures.com. Anything else from you, Daz?
No, I don't think so. Hopefully you're enjoying this. Please let us know. Give us feedback. Tell us what you want to hear. Look after each other. Stay safe.
Yeah, and one day we might even release the outtakes from this, which are... Yeah, I like to whistle. Listen, folks, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
It's been fantastic chatting to you guys tonight.
Love the 80s.
And we will see you next week with a film that is undisclosed. Ooh. Take care, folks. Good night. Cheers.
Bye, everyone. Cheers.
Shit, an arsehole.
I think that should all stay in.